This is Winter Schnee, and you're listening to the Tangles podcast. Stay cool, listeners. Yes, that was a pun. Yang is not the only one.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 50 of the Tanglecast, the official podcast of Beneath the Tangles. 50 episodes, y'all. I know we rebooted the podcast with a bit of a head start on that episode count, but regardless, I am just as proud to be here before you today with that 5-0 in the title. So thank you for hanging with us. My name is Matthew, representing, as I said, Team Anchester, where my goal is to offer you a stump around the fire and share some of the thoughts and reflections that have come to me here in Anime Camp, which, of course, we refer to as Anchester. I aim to keep the fire warm, the mead cold, and the conversation engaging, and hopefully this week will be no exception to that as I take the discussion a little off the usual path. But before we blaze our new trail, let's take our regular jaunt through the previous episode's cast questions. Last episode's question was simply, what do you think of sports anime? And if you have a favorite, what is it and why? To which we received quite a few responses. It was nice to see some support for Megalobox, since that is what the last episode was about. We got some support from Darren WCW, and also our man over at Beneath the Tangles, Samuru, on Instagram. Among other Instagram replies, the love for Haikyuu was completely unanimous. Thank you Noah Kanzai, Sei Macho, and Kide Pingu, and also our other gentleman over on Beneath the Tangles, Mr. MDMRN, for all of your responses. Free had an almost equally unanimous response, with 6 in favor and 1 opposed. Sorry, Joshua from Facebook, you were simply outvoted on this one. There were also other contributions which I had previously never heard of, such as Ace of Diamond from Kayla Bouchong and Celtic Nerd, and another baseball series cross game which came recommended to us by Half Shade and also our ever fearless leader, Charles. We also had one other honorable mention, honorable because the jury is still out as to whether or not we'll even allow it, but Jeskai Angel and Tyler Burnett were very enthusiastic in their vote for Girls und Panzer as best sports anime. Our own Statler and Waldorf, ladies and gentlemen. Alas, it seems that many of you are into, or at the very least open to, sports anime, which is good for us as a staff to know. I might have to make sure to review sports series again in the future. So please let us know if that's something you'd like, or if in the future there comes a season where a sports anime really takes off in public popularity and you would like us to join that analytic fray for the series. Thank you all for your contributions, both the sincere and the trolling. Our appreciation dares not discriminate. So if you too would like to voice your thoughts in our episodic cast question, I ask a new question at the end of each episode. So stick around. We'll be getting there shortly. But for now, I hope to share with you a somewhat experimental episode for the Anchester podcast. All right, so usually the next order of business would be some kind of analysis of a series or an episode or several episodes or a trend in anime culture, but this time it's going to be a little bit different. I would like to share with you instead a story about how God used anime to speak to me recently. This is perhaps what you would call a testimony about what the Lord has done for me. But really, I had a really encouraging weekend 2 weeks ago, and I would like to tell you all about it insofar as it's related to anime, which hopefully will be just related enough to what this podcast is actually about that me talking about me and my own thoughts for an extended period of time won't sound too terribly selfish. But then again, you are listening to a one-man podcast, so maybe you already counted that cost before you subscribed, and I don't need to apologize. But anyway, this will inevitably be pretty personal in some points and some parts, but I don't mind sharing if you don't mind listening. So consider yourself warned, but I do hope that you might stick around long enough to also be encouraged by what I have to say. So, 2 weekends ago now, I went on a retreat in Southeast Tennessee called Tres Dias. It's a Christian retreat, but to be perfectly frank, I didn't really know much else about it going into it. Members of my family had gone, and when I had brought it up to them as a possible recourse for some of the struggles that I had been dealing with recently, or just simply as a way to get away for the weekend, they jumped at the opportunity to sponsor my application. It was, all said, a very reviving weekend, a very helpful weekend, and one that confirmed for me many things that I had merely declared as my belief without actually understanding it in truth. But to the point of how anime got intertwined with this and my weekend, there were routine presentations of testimonies over those 3 days by men who really had suffered much, and who had in their own sin caused suffering for others, but who stood before our group of men reformed and altogether changed by the saving power of Jesus Christ. There came a point in the second day of the weekend when we were invited to take part in an exercise of forgiveness. There were pieces of paper handed out, and we were encouraged to write down the names that the Spirit impressed upon us as those we needed to forgive. Both releasing them and ourselves from the bitterness that we had harbored was the main focus of the exercise. And we weren't expected to have the list ready in our minds to write down that very instant when they handed the pages out. But what we found is that it's, to a great extent, possible for many of us to do that when we've been wounded in a great way. We tend to carry those things, even if it's not always constantly in the front of our minds. We tend to hold on to them. They're right there and accessible. But the encouragement was, instead, to take the day to dwell upon the exercise in prayer and allow God to bring to your mind things that had perhaps even been shrouded in time from your immediate thoughts. Not just the big hurts, but even things that maybe were significant for you and your development that maybe comparably weren't as big, but which you've still held on to. Things that have existed as constant undertones of unforgiveness in your daily life, and things that you did need to address, regardless of whether or not you could immediately call them back up to your memory. And because it was a day-long project, we were encouraged to mark the front of our paper in some way so that if we happened to misplace it, we and others who helped us look for it could identify them without having to open them to inspect the written content on the inside. This way it preserved our privacy, and it didn't step over any kind of bounds. So, confession time. One of the first anime-related purchases, and I promise this is related, it just sounds like a tangent. One of the first anime-related purchases I ever made was about a month ago when I impulsively bought a 6x3-inch decal of the Mark of Sacrifice from the series Berserk. Now, those of you who know me know that I have big love for Berserk, and I struggle, as all other fans of the series do, with explaining that love to both fellow nerds and normies alike. And what I've found over the years is that if you can manage to get through the extreme content in the series, Berserk fans typically fall into one of two categories. You'll either find yourself completely unable to define the greatness of the series that draws you to it, or you'll end up doing your very best anyway to describe that greatness in chat rooms and YouTube videos with an amount and a quality of discussion that could just as easily be found in a doctoral dissertation. There's just so much information, and people are so invested emotionally into the series that you would think that they were prepping for some kind of dissertation defense of some kind. But as regards the brand of sacrifice, that decal that I bought, the explaining can become even more difficult and awkward once you understand the horrifying context with which that brand and its significance enter the story of Berserk. And even then, the meaning of the mark and its symbolism are not explicitly stated in the series, which leads to a host of interpretations about what it actually means. If you had asked me before the Trasteus weekend what it meant to me, I would have told you that there was a man in Berserk who suffered immeasurably, brutally, and bordering on unspeakably, but who was saved from what should have been assured death by a man who resembled death itself, and he now bears this mark of sacrifice as a reminder of what he was saved from. many other interpretations, specifically I found from people who were struggling to describe their inspiration for getting this mark as a tattoo. Many of their interpretations had to do with the idea of the hero Guts as the Struggler, as he is named by another character in the series. Some of them had to do with the mark as a reminder that they, like him, are people who strive to be masters of their own destiny, despite whatever others tried to say about them or do to them. And for others, the mark is generally a reminder of the indomitable human will, which sound like really powerful reasons, but none of those really rhyme with my Christian beliefs. So I was content to just latch on to the gospel symbolism that I've found in it and the reminder of my own redemption. So that's why I put the mark of sacrifice as the symbol on my paper of names during the weekend. It seemed really significant to me at the time, a reminder of my redemption and forgiveness on a list of people that I was called to forgive as God through Christ forgave me. There was even a presentation immediately after I wrote the mark down in which the speaker talked about the idea of extreme loss and separation, which can lead us to despair, and all of this felt very relevant not only to Berserk, but also to my own life in a less extreme, but certainly more real sense. So I was feeling pretty good about how that symbol was brought to my mind, the way that God might be using that symbol. But that was pretty short-lived. As the day went on, it became harder and harder for me to attribute any power to this exercise in forgiveness at all. It felt like an empty gesture. Because of my upbringing, fear is a strong, instinctive motivator for a lot of my reasoning, and I put a lot of stock in that reasoning as the way by which I can avoid harm to myself and harm to others. And so, as much as this exercise was supposed to be a way of letting go of those things on the page to God in faith, there was a part of me that would not believe that they could really be taken care of if I left them with him. I'd made a habit of front-loading all of my fears into my life so that they would always be before me, because the last thing that I want is for someone or something to be able to hurt me as a consequence of my own negligence. And as two men from my table prayed for me after I had actually voiced this hang-up to them, I was given a mental image. I saw myself as being like a boy at bedtime who flips off the light switch and sprints as fast as he can, diving for his bed, hoping to get there before the monsters can get to him, believing that monsters can't get through bedsheets somehow, but not trusting enough to believe that his father can and will protect him from those monsters. And then I had another image of myself as that same little boy, but raging against the dark and the night, straining my voice by yelling at it to convince both the darkness and myself that I wasn't afraid of it, waving a plastic toy sword in my own defense. And both examples are funny in their own way because of the faulty childlike logic that they demonstrate. But they're also tragic for that same reason, of showing a childlike logic instead of a childlike faith. But of course, anyone who knows Berserk will readily see the similarities between that image of the second boy waving his plastic sword and the character of Guts. So I was convicted now more than ever and saw more significance in that mark of sacrifice than I did when it was first brought to my mind that day. But I also had a real hankering of curiosity to know what the mark of sacrifice actually meant. And it just so happened that I had done some research the week before during some down moments that I had at work between activity, and I had screenshotted the info I found, but I didn't really get into like reading it, to understanding it, to digesting it, and in that moment I couldn't remember what the information was. And also, I should add, phones and even watches were prohibited to us during the weekend for reasons of devotion and focus, which I totally understood and I appreciated once I got into the weekend, but all of a sudden I really wanted to know some information and I couldn't get it. So here is confession number two. I pulled out my phone on the last morning of the weekend to find those screenshots. But guys from the weekend, if you're somehow listening to this, I was so eager to get an answer for the question that I had that I didn't even look at the time. I don't remember seeing what it was. So, perdoname, por favor. But I hope that counts for something, because I found something that was really encouraging to me. I found out through some chat room theories that I had screenshotted that the symbol may be a combination of two separate Norse runes. So, runes are actually similar to Japanese kanji in that runes can be combined to create nuanced and specific meanings. And this is why you may often hear people talk about the kanji used to spell a particular character's name in anime, because the kanji used have specific meaning even if the pronunciation of the name is practically the same no matter what its spelling is. But despite my research, I cannot tell you what the mark of sacrifice means exactly, because Kintaro Miura, frustrating genius that he is, never actually says what the combined symbols mean, only what they indicate in the context of his own story. But what I can tell you is what the two symbols mean individually, at least in theory. Those of you listening in your cars won't have a great idea of what I'm describing unless you visit the accompanying article on beneaththetangles.com, so I encourage you to do that. But in the meantime, I will try my best to give you a good mental image of what I'm talking about. So, their berserk symbol has those two runes. The first symbol looks kind of like an hourglass with no top, where the lines intersect to form an X in the middle, and then the bottom and the top are kind of shaped in that hourglass shape, but the top is open. Now, some of the best theories are that this is actually an upside-down version of the Norse rune for separation, or hidden danger. Some actually say that the hidden danger meaning comes when the rune for separation is turned on its head. So it could be that the meaning is changed from separation only to hidden danger when it's turned upside down. But for the sake of this, let's just go ahead and assume that both kind of play into the meaning of that rune, regardless of its orientation. So then, if we assume this, to put it another way, we can say that the symbol of separation is being turned on its head. Separation is being turned upside down, inverted, changed. The other symbol is a vertical line with three outward spreading prongs at the top end of the line. It kind of looks like a scepter or an arrow shaft with fletching on the end faced downward. And this symbol in the berserk symbol runs down the middle all the way to its base. So it actually crosses the cross section of the hourglass all the way down to the very bottom. And the meaning of this arrow shaft symbol is protection. So you have, in effect, protection in the midst of separation or danger. Or you could think of it as protection cleaving separation and danger in two. Or that separation has been turned on its head and is being filled with protection. Also worth noting, the two runes together also resemble the rune for heart, which was interesting to me considering that the part of the paper that we were meant to write the names on for the exercise was a red heart. So all of this could have easily been enough to cause my own heart to burst with thankfulness at the very idea that this was connected to my own experience that weekend. The way that it was clear I had not planned this, the way that God was using this to speak to me personally and specifically. And that it addressed that image that I had the previous night of the first scared little boy who trusted his own faulty reasoning instead of the goodness of his father to protect him. And so that alone would have been enough for me, but the show wasn't over yet. So I found out all of these things about the runes just as they called us all to breakfast and to the chapel, because it was Sunday. So I was left to, as the Bible says of Mary, ponder it in my heart. And ponder it I did until we reached the chapel, where they had set up kneelers for all of us to take communion together. I was on the front row, and I received the signal to approach the railing with one of the gentlemen seated beside me, when the man administering communion brought the cup for communion to each of the altars. And when I saw the cup, I was shocked because the communion chalice was silver with a decorative metal relief on the outside of the cup. And the image was of a shield with a cross inside of it and two twining leafy vines that crossed at the center of the shield and cross before swooping out like an hourglass and not quite meeting at the top, which, needless to say, though I'm going to say it anyway, looked remarkably like the same components of the mark of sacrifice. And here I was, about to take communion from this cup in memory of the one who was sacrificed on my behalf. It may be a meaning that was personal to me only in that moment, but it was also a meaning meant personally for me in that moment. So I do hope that you also might experience some kind of encouragement from my little testimony of how God used anime to speak to me, and also a new knowledge of the fact, as I learned, that God has a heart for nerds. Because, you know, I do this kind of thing all the time. I come to a series to draw out the meaning from an anime series to show you how God is sovereign over all things, and that anime is not excluded from those things. And here, God used symbolism in anime to remind me of his sovereignty when I doubted it. So the tables were turned in a delightful way, and I am glad to have had the opportunity to share that with you. Well, thanks for bearing with me. Rather than try to somehow relate a question to you from this very personal testimony that I just delivered, the cast question to be answered next time will be different in that it is directly related to the next episode's topic instead of the one that you just heard. This will allow us to actually hear what you think before I, and hopefully a guest who will be joining me, give our two cents on the matter after yours. So, in order to set that up, the question is actually not one, but two questions. The first being, how engaged with anime meme culture are you? Are you, as I am, an Instagram meme scroller and collector, or are you completely and entirely out of the loop that such a culture even exists? If you are unaware that such a thing exists, you still have a chance to answer the second question, at least, which is, what is your opinion on the often overtly sexual nature of anime series and the culture produced in the communities surrounding it? If somehow you have managed to not notice that such a culture exists in the anime community, please, by all means, do not feel obligated to answer the question. Just sit back and enjoy our discussion of it in the next episode. But if you, as a Christian anime fan like me, have struggled with these issues on more than one occasion, we would love to hear from you when we post these cast questions on our various social media platforms. You'll be able to find those questions posted on our Twitter account, at AnimeTangles, on Instagram, at AnimePopHeart. That's AnimePopHeart. Anime, like the thing we watch, pop, as in like popping a balloon, and heart, as in the thing inside your chest. Also, on Facebook as Beneath the Tangles, and of course, as always, on our home blog site, beneaththetangles.com, where you can find this podcast as well as other relevant links and articles you might enjoy if you liked content like this. And while you are giving all of your thoughts and welcomed responses on our various platforms, please consider liking and sharing our podcast with anyone and everyone you know who might be interested in these kinds of things that we produce. And also, if you have that common problem of an overwhelming abundance of love for the Tanglecast, then we now have a solution for you. You can subscribe to the Tanglecast on our iTunes page or any of the other various platforms, and then you can drop down just a few scrolls into that comment review section and let loose that affection in the form of a glowing review for Beneath the Tangles. You can like, share, review, comment, subscribe. Any and all of these things add up and help us grow as a podcast to reach more people just like you. Also, I'd like to remind you that all month long for the month of March, Beneath the Tangles will be hosting an Anime March Madness tournament where you, our followers, will be able to vote on your favorite anime series to determine a champion by the end of the month. Please do not let the name fool you. Not many of us are also involved with sports, so do not feel obligated to be a sports junkie to engage with this series. We're simply piggybacking off the idea. And this week, we're in the opening round of the tournament, where you will find many of your favorite series awaiting your vote. So please, go to our website, beneaththetangles.com, and vote for your favorite series. And who knows, maybe your favorite will be the champion by the end of the month of March. Thank you again so very much for joining me. I send you out into the rest of your week with the charge to fear not, nor rage against the night, no matter what Dylan Thomas may say, for the Lord does fight for you. So rest within his protection, even in the midst of your danger, and take heart in him who was sacrificed for your sake. Go in peace, and until we meet again on The Tanglecast.